We've had him on before. Joining us now on the Schneider Orange Hotline, Dr. Rob Sitrenberg, infectious disease expert for Advocate Healthcare, and we just kind of want to get an update. Doc, how you been?
I am doing well. Thank you so much.
We are glad you are here. So we have seen spikes now in many southern states. We've seen spikes now in some athletic programs, LSU, Kansas State, obviously the Philadelphia Phillies. Is this just because we are receiving more testing, or because this is now being moved more because we've opened up states? Because a lot of people are confused. If we test more, obviously we're going to have more positive results. So are the numbers skewed? So how should we be looking at this right now?
Well, that's a great question. A lot of people are asking exactly the same question. So clearly, if you test more, you're going to find more positive cases. But what we look for is not just the number of cases. We look for the percentage of tests that are positive, the percent positivity. We also study very closely the hospital utilization in these states, or how many what percent of the beds are taken up. And in those states that you're talking about, particularly Florida, Arizona, Texas, not only are the numbers of cases going up, but the percentage of positivity is going up and hospital usage is going up as well. So this is definitely not a result of just more testing. It's a result of more cases. And these are some of the states that loosened their restrictions earliest in the country back in early May.
So the thought was that once it got warm, this was going to start to go away, and we're not seeing that.
Yeah, the issue with the seasonality of the virus is a little bit tricky. So the coronaviruses, this is one of the coronaviruses, they tend to be seasonal in the sense they're mostly wintertime viruses. They tend to do better in cooler and drier climates compared to hot and humid climates. But simple change in the weather or change in seasons doesn't make the virus go away. Might make it a little bit easier to contain in certain areas, but just a change in seasons will not impact the virus at all. Remember, the virus doesn't move. People with the virus move. So as long as people with the virus are moving close to each other, it really doesn't matter what the weather conditions are. That virus is still going to get transmitted from person to person.
I guess with all the different protocols that we're talking about with Major League Baseball, the NBA, and I get it. Look, they're trying to do everything they can to make sure that the environment that they're playing in is safe. But now you've got the breakout with the Philadelphia Phillies, and then you've got the breakout with the LSU football program, the Kansas State football program. Dr. Fauci saying, if you're not going to play football in a bubble on many of these campuses, there's no way you're going to be able to control this. You're going to have massive outbreaks. I mean, is that what we're really looking at as the fall begins to come towards us?
It's sure looking more like that. And the bubble concept is a good one if you can pull it off, but it's very difficult to do. Bubble basically means that everybody is tested negative and nobody goes in or goes outside of that bubble, essentially. That's just not really practical. I don't know how you can pull it off in any sport. And so I think what we can expect to see are continued outbreaks in different parts of the country. You know, when this pandemic first started, the experts called for about a two-year cycle, and many people didn't believe it was going to take 2 years. But now you can kind of see how it goes from place to place, from month to month. And yes, I think that going into the fall and the winter, we'll expect to see continued outbreaks in different areas. It might go away. It might get better. Like, for example, I live in Illinois. It's gotten a lot better in Illinois, but it's gotten worse in the southern states. And as time goes on, it might get better in those states and worse again in some other states. So, yeah, I think this trend is going to continue.
You had mentioned that hospitalization has gone up, and the question always is, okay, are we just talking about more so elderly, those with immune deficiencies, or is this now becoming more, again, widespread across the board?
Well, still, the people who get the sickest from this disease and are at the highest risk for dying are people who are older, over 70, particularly over 80, and those who are vulnerable and have compromised immune systems, et cetera. There are some people who are younger and healthy who do get real sick from it, but by and large, most of the people who are hospitalized severely ill are those older, sicker people. The problem is, though, when you have a lot of young people who get it but don't really get sick, they can still easily transmit it to their parents or their grandparents or to other people who may be at risk for getting very ill from it.
How do we not think about it then when we're out and about in our daily life and trying to bounce back economies and open restaurants and bars? And have we gone about this wrong?
I think we're getting it. We're getting better. I think we didn't start out very strong, but we're getting better. One of the things that we learned very early on is that this disease can be spread very easily by people who don't have symptoms. And I think that's really where the masking came in. The states that have implemented mandatory masking when you're in public have done a lot better. So we do know that if everybody wears a mask, that's how you can prevent transmission. And so, yeah, I think you can get back out and do things. You can dine, you can go to parks, you can go outside, you can do all kinds of things, but safely. So you have to still maintain the social distance. You still have to mask when you can't maintain the social distance. And using those measures, I think we can keep this under control. It's not going to go away on its own, but we can definitely minimize the impact by doing that. I think in some of these states where we're seeing big outbreaks right now, those are some of the states where really masking has really not been used at all. And I think we're starting to see the consequences of that now.
How close are we to getting a vaccine? And I guess the next question becomes, and let's just say we get one tomorrow. I mean, if suddenly we get a vaccine, is that the cure-all, or is this just something that you take not to get it, and it has to be really indoctrinated into society? Because the original projections were, we're not going to really see a control of this until maybe early to mid-next year. And are we kind of fooling ourselves by saying, well, August, we could have a vaccine?
A vaccine will help, and I think your projections are that sometime mid-next year we'd like to see some big improvements, kind of a return to normal as we know it. If a vaccine came out, say, tomorrow, first we'd have to establish that it was safe for use, and then we'd have to establish that it was effective. And then even if it was safe and effective, you have to get people to take it. You can't force them to take it. And a recent survey that I read showed that between 30 and 40% of people that were surveyed said they would not take a vaccine if one were available. And that's going to be a big problem too. So if, in order for a vaccine to be effective, kind of shortening this cycle of the pandemic, 80 to 90% of the population is going to have to take it. Short of that, it's not going to help as much as we'd like. With that being said, it will certainly help even those people who take the vaccine. Realistically though, it's hard to picture a vaccine that is safe and effective and able to be mass-produced on the market before sometime next year.
Are we mass-producing now the test kits to see if you do have it? And then there was always the question of when are the antibody tests going to come out?
Testing is a lot better than it was. I wouldn't say that we have an unlimited number of tests, but we have a really good supply. So we're almost to the point where we can test anybody for any reason, which is really important. We got off to such a slow start in this country testing people. And I think that's part of the reason why this epidemic got so out of control here. Testing is much more readily available. There are many community testing centers all throughout the country. So we can really get people tested. And the importance of getting them tested is if you're positive, you stay home, you isolate, and then we can trace your contacts, people that you came into close contact with, and have those people quarantined. That's how you stop the spread. The antibody test doesn't tell you if you have the disease. It tells you if you had it before. And the antibody test is now available. We're starting to do it on large numbers of people to really get an idea about what percentage of the population has already had the disease. The best estimates right now are that somewhere between 5 and 10% of the U.S. population has already had COVID. It might be higher in certain areas. It might be lower in others. But on average, probably about between 5 and 10% of the country has had it.
And then before I let you go, so, you know, do you think we end up having sports in the fall, or do you think that this is just going to be, because of the enormity of college football, NFL football, the enormity of these teams, traveling personnel and everything, that this is going to be something? Because I personally would love to see the sports obviously go on, but I keep thinking to myself, they're going to try, but then I think we're going to have a shutdown coming, because I think we're just way too optimistic about this.
It sure seems that way. From a purely like 100% medical standpoint, let's say that the medicine was the only factor, you would shut down every sports league until next year. But that's being naive to not take into account economic factors and other beneficial effects of sports. Now, that being said, let's say you have a football game scheduled for a Saturday or a Sunday and 20 players on the team turn positive. How do you even field the team for that game? And that's going to happen in football. It's going to happen in baseball. It's going to happen even in basketball. You know, the original plan, to have the NBA play in Orlando was in part related to that. At the time, there was a very low prevalence of COVID in Florida. Well, now it's one of the higher states. So that plan is probably not going to work out as well. So I think that every sport is going to try, but I think you're right. There's a pretty good chance that at some point it's going to have to get shut down and they're not going to be able to complete seasons, unfortunately.
Doc, it's great to talk to you. It's stark facts more than anything, and I know we're optimistic, but it seems like this thing's just hanging over us right now. I appreciate your time as always, okay?
My pleasure. Thank you.